Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. My God, the sigh is like part of the new show intro. I wonder how long that's going to go on. Okay, I just scanned the news before I left the house to see if there was anything earth-shattering that I had to plug in to replace stuff that I'd already thought of talking about. It looks like nothing earth-shattering with the moderately minor significant exception of Trump's cabinet officials praising him in terms usually reserved for Kim Jong-un. Aside from that, nothing that had to replace what I was planning on talking about. So, if you go to my website, thinkwingradio.com, or thinkwing.org, if you just don't want to type as many letters. Of course, as I say many times, I have a lot of live links to the articles and topics I'm discussing, as well as a lot of stuff I never get to. So the first item I want to bring up, and by the way, open forum, phone number 713-526-5738. This is something I think a lot of us are thinking about. Is it time for the United States to think about reining in and maybe readjusting and maybe even reallocating some of the powers of the presidency? And one of the topics I'm going to get to in a little more detail later, hopefully, Jim DeMint, former South Carolina senator, he is plumping for a constitutional convention under Article 5 of the Constitution. Maybe that's where I should go first. Article 5 of the Constitution. Hold on. I think, a quote here. Okay. Article 5 of the Constitution says, "The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to the Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states." Now, of course, we've got 50 states. So two-thirds of state legislatures, if they pass a bill signed by the governor, make it law, in order to call for a constitutional convention, the Congress can't stop them. Now, in times past, there have been efforts to do that. Usually it's a specific thing they want, like the ERA amendment, Equal Rights Amendment. And usually what happens then is Congress will pass an amendment, which is then sent out to the state legislatures, thereby forestalling an entire constitutional convention. This is really not where I planned to start. This was actually something like item three, but that's okay. If there is an Article 5 convention called by the states, now remember that the last time we had a constitutional convention, the various delegates were called to Philadelphia to retool the Articles of Confederation. They were just supposed to tinker with it, make it work better. We ended up with a whole new constitution. And some of the people didn't like the omissions in that constitution, so they came up with 13 amendments to ratify separately, 10 of which were ratified and became the Bill of Rights. Now, Jim DeMint, he's calling for a constitutional convention that, in broad strokes, calls for protecting against government interference in speech, press, and religion, which, of course, we already have. What he wants to do is water it down. Two, non-government interference in private businesses, publishers, etc. which, let's see, actually, am I reading the wrong thing? That's actually my free speech part. Oh, darn. Okay, yeah, I'm getting mixed up. See, I had all this stuff I wanted to talk about, and it's all kind of related. In any case, the main point I wanted to make is Jim DeMint and his people think that they can call an Article 5 constitutional convention and limit it to certain amendments. The legal people, the constitutional lawyers, they have serious doubts that there is any legal way, any legislative way, that you can call a constitutional convention. Now, you can initiate an amendment, and that amendment is like a specific thing. But once you call for a convention, everything's on the table. And constitutional lawyers don't think there's any way to limit it. So, especially at a time when we have such crazy polarized politics in the country, that could be a really dangerous thing. What I really wanted to start off talking about, though, and this kind of led into it, is reigning in the presidency. So I think we can all think about constitutional amendments we might propose or laws that we might pass. For example, we might want to institutionalize a two-thirds approval for any Supreme Court justice. Maybe make that a constitutional amendment. Maybe we should take the Department of Justice and put it under the Supreme Court rather than the executive. So, or have an equivalent to the Department of Justice under SCOTUS, so that if SCOTUS wants to do an investigation, the president can't stop them. And if the president stops them, then SCOTUS itself can initiate without need for a petition, basically an equivalent of the Department of Justice, where the equivalent of an attorney general under SCOTUS can decide to initiate an investigation that the president can't stop. There are a lot of things. Maybe take that ridiculous comma out of the Second Amendment to make it more clear that actually the right to bear arms in a well-regulated militia is actually a state power and not an individual power to open up survivalist militias. There's all kinds of stuff that we could do. We could clarify the separation of church and state, ideally. One of the things that's interesting, there is something in New York City called Shakespeare in the Park, where in Central Park they put on free plays by Shakespeare, which are sometimes tweaked to provide commentary more on contemporary events, which really was what Shakespeare was often doing in many of his plays. So, this particular Shakespeare, Caesar, became very much Trump. And Melania became very much Caesar's wife. And apparently this became too much for a couple of corporate sponsors, Bank of America and Delta Airlines. They pulled their funding. There is no government funding in this, apparently. This is strictly a privately supported enterprise, corporate, individuals, whatever. So, this kind of, and I have a whole lot more stuff. If you go to the website, I cited a lot of paragraphs. I don't know that I need to read them. But, this goes directly to the First Amendment. I think the First Amendment is one of the more widely misunderstood constitutional amendments. Culturally, we seem to feel like the First Amendment, freedom of speech in this case, applies to everything, everybody, and every entity. So we frown on censorship by corporations. We frown on censorship by individual, political groups. We frown on censorship by media. We say, oh, that's censorship. You can't do that. Well, actually they can. The only thing that the First Amendment says, and now I'm going to dig back through my notes because this is, a couple of pages away. Here's what the First Amendment actually says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, in short, on the free speech issue, what that says is government. And because it's in the federal constitution, that goes all the way down the line. So the federal government, state government, city government, county government, town government, board of supervisors, whatever it is you've got, no government entity can order the censorship of speech. So they can't tell an individual group not to say stuff. They can't say that Shakespeare in the Park can't do a Julius Caesar that sort of references our current Trump situation. Government can't do any of that. It says nothing about whether dissenting voices are required to have platforms. So, for example, if a right-wing newspaper doesn't want to have a lefty publishing articles, they have a perfect right to do that. If a left-wing media entity doesn't want a righty to be publishing articles on their platform, they have a perfect right to do that. So the right to free speech, yes, it is institutionalized as the law of the land in the Constitution. All other objections to censorship, all other constraints on censorship by people, institutions, corporations, organizations, all the constraints on them are societal. This is something that is not widely understood. It's an incredibly important distinction. Now, you know, there may come a point where after the Trump problems are gone and we sit back and start to reevaluate a lot of our institutions and a lot of our checks and balances, there may come a time we want to look at stuff like this. Maybe we want to leave it exactly as it is. Maybe we want to codify a little bit more a little bit more law against censorship, or maybe be more specific about what kinds of censorship the government really frowns on. You know, one of the interesting things about this, you go back to this famous or infamous interview that Rachel Maddow had with Rand Paul, where she was asking him about the Civil Rights Act. And there's a specific article there. I don't remember which one it was, might be two, might be four, that on the one hand, in one article, the federal government says that there will be no racial discrimination. I'm making this narrow, but it's broad. There will be no racial discrimination regarding any federal institution, building, entity. Where Rand Paul was having a real problem was when she asked him, well, what about where the Civil Rights Act talks about private institutions, this business of having separate water fountains, and you're not allowed to sit at the counter if you're not white. And Rand Paul had a real problem with that. You know, we talk about the righties being very, very selective constitutionalists. They love the Constitution except when they disagree with it. They love America except when stuff happens that they don't approve of. Now, in this particular case, I mean, the Civil Rights Act has gone through a lot of legal challenges. So on some basis, this federal prohibition against discrimination by private enterprise and private individuals, and that's stipulated like certain things. So like, you know, you're personally allowed to discriminate on some things, but not on other things, but not governmental, not federal, not government. And Rand Paul's problem was that he was, and I take him at his word, he is against discrimination, he is against racism, but his problem was, does the federal government have the right to extend that power to block discrimination beyond government auspices. So, I mean, we're getting into a little bit the weeds here of law, and I'm not a lawyer. I mean, this is like sort of my lay knowledge, my lay opinion, interpretation of this stuff from what I've heard, from what I read. So this is very tricky stuff. You know, we've got a president, any president, that over the last 240 years, presidents have taken more and more power. I think one of the first egregious extensions, I'm not going to say violations, but extensions of presidential power was when Thomas Jefferson bought the Louisiana Territory. It was a done deal by the time it got to Congress. He was made an offer by Napoleon. Napoleon needed the money. Jefferson felt that he didn't have time to go to Congress. You know, it's like this offer is going to expire, take it or leave it. So by the time he got to Congress, it was a done deal. Congress was pretty PO'd. But, you know, here we are. We had doubled the territory of the United States. That was actually a power grab for the president. I'm not saying it was good or bad, but the fact is it was a power grab doing something that was never envisioned as a presidential power. And these kinds of big and small changes, extensions of presidential power over the last couple of hundred years have just kind of crept up on us. Some people think it's been basically good, mostly. Some people feel it's gone too far. I think a lot of people are seeing with Trump that powers that the presidency had either been given or has taken over time, which we felt could be entrusted to a person wise enough and smart enough, and those are not the same thing, to become president, to use those powers with great discretion. And now we see it's possible to have a president that won't. I think that post-Trump, and eventually there will be a post-Trump sooner or later, I think that all of this stuff is going to have to be looked at and thought about with great intensity and great seriousness. And we'll see what happens. Okay, I've taken up the first quarter of the show. I'll do a quick station ID. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. You can support KPFT anytime by going to kpft.org, clicking on the donation link, and contributing as much or as little as you can afford. If you itemize, it is tax deductible. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, tax deductible. And money, cars, boats, various other things, you can contribute and either get a cash write-off or a contribution of an in-kind write-off. You can also go and see lots of stuff that I talk about and don't talk about and simply research and post by going to thinkwingradio.com. There actually is a lot of interesting stuff there. And you can follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. Okay. I'm going to start taking phone calls. I think I pretty much touched on the important stuff that I wanted to touch on. We have open forum. You can talk about anything I've discussed or not. And the number is 713-526-5738. And Jerry is breathlessly on the line. Can't wait to talk. Jerry, how you doing? You're on the air.
I wouldn't say breathless.
Gasping?
Heavy breathing. No.
Heavy breathing. I get some of those calls, I think. So what do you think about like this? I mean, do you have another thing you want to discuss, or do you want to talk about anything that I've already brought up?
Well, I'll just say in regard to that is that Gore Vidal used to argue that we should have another constitutional convention, and then he changed his mind and everything. He sat there and said one time, after talking to some constitutional lawyers and stuff like that, he said every lunatic in the world would come out of the woodwork and want to, Scientologists, et cetera.
Yes.
And I think he specifically mentioned them. And he said that he didn't think in retrospect maybe that was such a hot idea after all.
Yeah, I have come to that conclusion a long time ago. I think specific amendments and where possible specific legislation, which of course is easily repealable. But I think that that's the path to take. I think that an Article 5 convention would be a nightmare. It would be a horror story.
Yeah, I think so too. And then, you know, basically, the only thing I'd change in the Constitution that I really would like to see changed, and I mentioned it before, is I'd just like to see us get rid of the Electoral College. But other than that,
you know,
I wouldn't even take people's guns away. I'm just like, here, you want the right to guns? Okay, here, have a gun.
I just want that comma taken out of the Second Amendment to clarify who regulates militias. That's all I want on the Second, a comma, just the comma. And,
well,
and I think that we should institutionalize the two-thirds vote to approve a Supreme Court justice. If it's going to be for life, I think it should be two-thirds. You should be able to get some of the minority party to vote for that judge. And as for the Electoral College, having now, for show purposes, having to read some of the Federalist Papers, the problem is that the Federalist Papers discuss at length very clearly what the purpose and function of the Electoral College is supposed to be. The problem is none of that found its way actually into the Constitution. So, I mean, you can talk about abolishing the Electoral College, or you can talk about tinkering with it in some way to make it more what, like, Madison and Hamilton envisioned, which is not to be partisan. To sort of be a final arbiter, which ironically, by the way, is a little bit like the system they have in Iran, I might point out. I mean, we're talking interesting stuff here, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, I was just going to say, though, that, you know, I think that, you know, it's funny to me that they never bring that up, that they never do mention that other part. You know, we have the right to keep and bear arms or whatever, and then they don't mention the other part of it.
Which other part?
And all that, you know, the part where, because, you know, well-regulated militia.
Yeah, the comma.
Yeah, and all that, the stuff that comes with that and all that, they tend to forget that. And they tend, I think they want other people to forget it, too. But anyway, no, I just think that, I just think it's interesting, you know, that we're going to have Mr. Sessions, testifying tomorrow in front of an open, in front of the Congress in an open session.
If he doesn't cancel, because he's not under subpoena, he's under invitation, and will he be under oath?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think
good.
So.
Well, I mean, because it's,
I mean,
not a subpoena situation.
What's the point of doing it if it's not under oath?
Yeah. Let's hope.
And all that. I was going to say also a couple of things. I actually sent you a couple of videos from YouTube, Richard A. Clark talking about this whole Russian scandal thing and Trump's issues and all that. And there's a couple of really good clips on there where he talks about that stuff and makes some interesting observations. He said one or two things that I said something similar to. If you go look, he was talking to Chris Matthews and Smirkonish.
I'll go back and take a look.
Yeah, I sent you the links.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't know. What gets you about Trump is that, you know, one thing I'd like to point out to people is that, you know, nothing, the nation's business is not being taken care of, and if the Republicans manage to pass a number of things that they seem to want to pass, you know, basically think about the future. Almost certainly, we're told by experts, almost certainly the price of energy is going to go up. Unless there's that 1% chance, you know, we finally hit the jackpot on fusion energy.
Well, you know, there are forces at play, because the rate of increase of petroleum has actually sort of topped for a while. Natural gas is becoming a powerful and less polluting competitor for the most part. You have an increase in renewable energy like solar and wind, and battery storage is beginning to come online to smooth out the provision of that power during times when it's not readily available by sun or wind. So the oil industry in general is actually facing a little bit of a demand problem down the line. I mean, there's some interesting dynamics going on here.
I think that's true, and I don't think that peak oil is going to work out. You know, they used to say $200 per barrel. I think it's unlikely we're going to ever see that for a range of reasons. But,
you know, never say never, but for now, I think it's improbable.
I said unlikely. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to let you take a last word, and then I've got several other people in line that I want to get to.
Okay. Also, you know, he wants to cut funding. You know, one of the big problems out there is all of these germs or all this bacteria that causes diseases. Well, you know, all of a sudden they're drug resistant.
Yes.
And that's coming up as a bigger and bigger problem as time goes on. And yet he wants to cut funding to things like the CDC, where they're doing research on that kind of stuff and all
well,
that.
Well, you know, the people that are in power right now, their goal, their ideological imperative is not to run the government. It's to deconstruct the government. In that, they are proving to be distressingly successful.
Seems to me like it's going at a slow pace, but...
The deconstruction is going apace.
Well, I don't know. You could have a debate about that, but I won't go into it.
Okay.
But anyway, I'll let you go here.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you so much for calling, Jerry. You're listening to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Mike Koenig. Bob Gartner's on controls. You can support this station and this program at kpft.org, going to donate. Do please pick Think Wing Radio, but it all goes into the same pot. But, you know, it's like a way of rating my show. You can go to thinkwingradio.com and see all kinds of stuff that I don't get to talk about on the air that I nonetheless post for my show and other things. And you can follow me at Think Wing Radio on Twitter. Okay, next up is M.O.D. Welcome, M.O.D. How you doing tonight?
Good evening, Mike. So, I don't know where to go. Maybe.
Yeah, I covered a lot of ground. But it's open forum, so take your pick.
All right, well, I just tossed a loft over there on, you know, I really admire the fact that you try to go through the Constitution. And I think, especially where we are now, we need to do whatever it takes to stop what's going on with Trump in place or in office. I agree with that. But why couldn't we have done it, any of this, Mike, during the last two National Defense Authorization Acts that are already done, that are implemented?
I think that the reason is that people don't tend, and politicians are people, unlike corporations, I think people tend not to do difficult things unless they see an urgent need to do difficult things. You know, Winston Churchill said about the United States that we always do the right thing after having tried everything else.
I know, or maybe not aware, docile, or populace that's complacent.
I think we have had a lot of trust in our presidents to take this awesome power that has gradually accrued to the office and use it wisely and responsibly, even in the case of presidents like Nixon and FDR and Reagan and G.W. Bush. I think we've always trusted that whatever we thought of the politics of these people, that in terms of this awesome power they have, they would have both the smarts and the wisdom to use it or not use it appropriately. I think this is the first time that even conservatives have gotten really scared about the person who is in control of this awesome power. And
right.
I think that will eventually end up resulting in amendments and or legislation.
Right, but it's the foundation or removal of our liberties that were taken away with the last two National Defense Authorization Acts that, you know, yeah, they were, you know, Republican Senate sponsored. They were endorsed and implemented with no rebuttal or mention to the populace. So I'm saying it's, you would think fundamentally that this position would have our best interest, and it seems that way. But I think it's more just how it is, Mike. With it's all this stuff has been done before. The Trumpster has been, you know, got to where he is now.
The levers of power have been put in place.
Yes,
well before Trump.
Think he's the one that will stand up? Because all the stuff that's been done as far as our rights and liberties with all these ongoing what's that called, when Gonzalez was trying to get Ashcroft to sign the extension of the legal rationalizations
for torture. I mean, I think as a society, because of our history since our founding and certainly since the Civil War, in spite of all the negative things that go on in our country, in our society, in people's heads, by and large, I think that most people, 70, 80% of the population, basically trusts government with its power to do the right thing. Because we haven't really experienced in a significant way government oppression. So all these levers of power that are in place, we have become, we've been trusting, some might say complacent, that these levers will not be used unless necessary. They will be used judicially in the idiomatic sense and perhaps in the literal sense, and that government will have this power but not use it to oppress. I think this is the first time, even the people that hated G.W. Bush, I think this is the first time that there is real fear across the political spectrum that we don't have a reason to have that trust anymore.
Right, and I think since what G.W., what's called war on terror, we are now in a global environment where Gladio is now running full steam through, you know, Operation Gladio, like false flags. I mean, you can call it whatever. You know, we're not going to go into it, but there's a lot of terrorism going on right now, similar to what was the carpet bombing during the 70s and 80s in Italy. And with that, Teresa, to your point about government's best interests during the beginning of your show, you mentioned that she wants to regulate the internet because of possible terrorist.
Well, I didn't say that. I know there's been talk about that.
Yeah. So all these, you know, kind of dark, dictatorial or totalitarian police state things that are in place, but we have blind faith in our government that they won't use it on us.
Yeah, we have trust, and some might call it complacency, and now we're scared.
Right. So I wanted just to touch on that, but then I think about, well, let me think. You know, since World War II, there's a lot of things that have occurred, and I'm thinking, you know, October coming up, that's the, you know, official to the month celebration of Bolshevism in Russia, was that 1917 October?
True.
Yeah, and I see all these attributes, Mike, you know, for, you know, this posturing for what you would call, maybe not just a global economic, but a global black swan of you know, things going here domestically.
Let me define for the audience that when you talk about a black swan, you're talking about an improbable convergence of events that lead to catastrophe.
Right, and so I see stuff at home. I see stuff, you know, the perpetual tarp that's, you know, exhausted all the municipal or economies in Europe. But here in the States, we have a debt ceiling coming up at the end of September. We have a federal ID law for stereotyping legals that is just the right person in office to do this right.
Yep.
Oh, my God. And of course,
debt ceiling, people have to understand, the debt ceiling isn't to raise our ability to spend.
No.
The debt ceiling is to legalize our ability to pay the debts we have already incurred.
Yep. And for some reason, that became a pulverizing issue when Obama was in office. When
Thank Jr. you, did, Mitch think, McConnell.
Before Obama, when Jr., President 43 was in office, he had like 17 extensions.
But when it was only Obama the black office, Democrat that started to have the problem.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm alluding to is there are a lot of things going on right now of overinflated markets, housing bubble, over a third of the OPCOs, exchange insurance, have pulled out of the States. That's why we have such a high cost for.
Yes.
We're barely getting by, is what I'm trying to say. I'm just thinking, isn't this interesting? You know, 100 years ago in October 1917, all these similar attributes, not identical, but just a lot of unstable economy and all these things, and here we go, and we got this clown in office, And who's gonna break out that?
Who would imagine that we would be in such agreement?
I'm trying to picture the posturing.
I'm going to have to let you go shortly, and I'll give you an opportunity for a brief last word. But, you know, this is something that I have said many times, that the United States has not had a revolution since the late 18th century. That does not mean we are immune to revolution. And when I have had the opportunity to talk to conservatives who are against this part of the safety net, you know, they're against Social Security and unemployment insurance and Medicare and Medicaid, all these takers and taken from all these makers. And you know, if you're going to look at it that way, if you're not going to do it because you want to prevent human suffering, because you want to follow the teachings of Jesus and be charitable to the poor, if you don't want to do it just out of sheer humanity, do it out of your own self-interest. Think of it as life insurance. Because if the desperate become too desperate, they're going to come to your house, they're going to kill you and your family, and they're going to take everything, they're going to loot your estate. So just think of it as life insurance and move on. But no, well, you know, it's just greed, greed, greed.
Well, it's causation, or it's Mike. It's real. To me, it's real simple. I'm sorry, I'm going to dumb down, but it's arguing a result and cause and effect. That's what I work in, and what we have. If you take, you know, wants and needs and package into two political ideologies or parties, whatever you want to call it, and over here you got John Hagee in San Antonio, a Christian Zionist. Since, you know, the 2005 thing with Junior and all that. But anyway, those Zionists are marching to Armageddon, and they don't care.
It ain't just the Zionists, M.O.D. They're the apocalyptics, too, the Christian apocalyptics that believe that there is a second coming and that we don't need to worry about pollution or climate change or global warming or melting of ice because Jesus is going to come and make
world.
It good.
Right, but I'm saying
that's not the Zionists, by the way. That is mostly the apocalyptic Christians, although there are also apocalyptic Jews, apocalyptic
everything.
Islamists. Every religion has an apocalyptic sect.
Mike?
Yeah, Bob?
Kevin? Can I change the subject a second?
Yeah, quick, because I do have. I was going to let him go shortly and go on to the next couple.
We got a call, and the caller was challenging Jerry and MOD and Gary to a $25 match. And I guess that would extend into next week when the station is officially in the fund drive.
Does the $25 match apply to just those three people? Or
apparently. I don't know why Wayne and Doug weren't included.
Tell your gentleman that
you can go with holding and
I'm sorry. Hold on, Bob. What was that, M.O.D.?
Yeah, we gave last drive. We usually do it every quarter, so I enjoy it.
Yeah, you definitely support the station to the best of your ability, and we appreciate that.
But if you can squeeze 25, we'll get 25 out of this guy, so...
Yay!
Well, I think it has to come from each of you before the threshold.
Yeah, apparently it's a very specific challenge.
It,
it's kind of like targeted. Okay, all right.
I'll let you go, Mike.
I appreciate it.
That we have a lot of, to what you mentioned, the self-narcissistic values that are the opposite of, let's say, Christ-like, meaning, people, my dad used to question his clients, his court, anyway, he's a lawyer. And when he finished questioning them, Mike, it turned out that they did have so-called liberal values. Like, they do care for their children, so they would care for their family. And they would actually end up having these kind of liberal values when they claim to be, conservatives. But if you can just keep people broken up and just stupefied, I guess, and then have them follow these stupid ideas, it works, right? We don't...
They just have to follow the teachings they claim they follow and would be good.
There you go.
All right.
Well, we'll talk some more later. And,
appreciate
it. We'll see you probably by next Monday at the store, as I usually stop by.
Thank you very much. You take care. Right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio and KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Donate at kpft.org. Visit my site at thinkwingradio.com and follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. Doug, Thank
hey,
you for waiting.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm going to top. I hope you can remember the topic I always talk about that no one else talks about, which is.
Try me.
Which is.
I don't remember.
Which is economic growth and job creation. I have no idea why other people don't talk about it. It's the lion's share. It's at least 70% of everything. I mean, whether we go well in society or whether we go poorly, is all about middle class jobs. And I have no idea on earth why.
Consumers are the job creators.
The what?
Consumers are the job creators.
Well,
wealthy
our society,
people.
Or broad based society. Or I got something specific
kind okay.
of people to bite down on. Okay.
I got
there,
a pen to
a very
bite
simple,
down.
There's a very simple explanation for why stagflation occurs. That'd be kind of.
I'm sorry, why the what occurs?
A stagflation,
okay.
like 1979.
Yes, I recall it well.
And now, chapter two would be with the solution. That's trickier. But do you know this? Do you happen to know this, the cause?
I think that the cause of stagflation was a combination of excess borrowing, increased.
No, no. Not according to this guy. Okay, but you, go on, man. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say because we were borrowing money, we had a supply side shortage. Basically, we were near.
That's what this guy focuses on. Okay.
Near capacity.
Okay.
Excess demand. At the same time, we had a quadrupling of the price of oil, so we had a lot of money. I'm sorry?
The quadrupling was in 73. In 79, the price of oil doubled. But
well, what was happening was a lot of money was leaving the country, and the challenge was recycling it to get those countries to spend it back in the United States. So, I mean, there were multiple things going into that stagflation.
Okay. This guy... he focused on that thing about the supply shock. Yes, the supply curve moves inward, and that's it. That's the whole cause. And so you end up with the equilibrium point that's both less gross domestic product and higher prices. And if someone just, you know, I just encourage people to look that up or try and find just an economics textbook. And now it's kind of known.
Well, in economics, nothing is ever actually known.
It's
surmised.
Now, the hard part is that whole chapter two. Okay, we know the cause. What do we do about it? Kind of like if someone has high blood pressure or whatever, what do we do about it? But, you know, it's presented as this great mystery, which I think makes for better ratings, and also lazy journalism, and it's presented as refuting Keynesian economics. Or refuting, I remember the phrase, the Keynesian consensus.
Well, the problem with Keynesian economics is it only works if you understand it.
Well, we ought to, it's our business to explain it to people.
Unfortunately, if you're one of those explainers, unfortunately, you haven't.
You're a three times better explainer than I am.
Ah,
it's like our friend across the pond, a former Prime Minister Gordon Brown, you know, we're not going to cut for the future, we're going to invest in the future. You know, you do infrastructure, you do education. You know, this is, you know, making a better future, not a worse future.
Priming only works when the pump is dry.
Spiraling.
Right.
We got to preach that case. We got to lay the facts messily on the table. We're largely right. We're not 100% right, but that's a big advantage. So we don't got to say things or be crafty. Just lay it messily on the table, you know, trust people to figure it out.
Well, one of these days I'm going to try to do a show on social capitalism.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a shot if I can find someone that can go into that subject. I'm starting to do a little research on various hyphenated capitalisms, whether it's democratic capitalism, social capitalism. I'm starting to get a little interested in that.
I'm with you. I'm down with that. I got a radical proposal if you'd be interested.
If you can keep it short, because I got two other folks.
Okay. The thing this fellow was saying, that he says, he thinks you elect the king, that we invest so much everything into the president, you know, particularly belief and personal everything. You know, we probably need to separate a head of government and a head of state. So why could not, for example, that Senate... appoint someone, elect someone, it's going to be, the title would be first citizen. And they would be similar to a British queen where it's their time to speak in you know times of you know national tragedy or national success.
I'm going to interrupt just because short on time.
Okay.
I think that would be a potential outcome of a constitutional convention would be a totally different form of government. We really already have that. We have Congress. We have the Speaker of the House, who, by the way, does not have to be a member of Congress. My mom could be elected Speaker of the House. And I think the problem is that the Speaker is always a partisan pick. I would like to see that change.
Okay, all right. And you're in there pitching, okay? I mean, I like the radicalism. We citizens, this is a democracy. It's supposed to be. If we invest effort, it will be.
Well, you know, as it's been said, bad politicians are elected by good people who don't vote.
And we don't pay attention.
Okay,
all right, buddy.
Thanks so much for calling, Doug.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, I've got two people on the line, so now you can call. It's open forum. I will do my best to let everybody get on, but I cannot promise at this point that everybody will get on. The two guys I've got now will definitely get on. 713-526-5738. Wayne, you are on. Thank you for being patient.
Good afternoon, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. You have a funny sense of afternoon.
Yeah, I agree with you that the Speaker of the House should not be elected by the parties that are in the House. I say it should be an independent person.
I would like, you see, that's an amendment I would like to see.
Yeah, but nobody thinks of it. And until you might have to keep, you know, pushing it to get the people to understand what it actually means.
Yeah.
When you're independent, you're independent of anybody. The one that we have now, which is the Speaker of the House, that quite possibly and maybe, and the way it's looking, may become the President of the United States is a real asshole. But that's my opinion.
And may be Russian influenced.
And may be Russian influenced. But here's the thing. What I call tonight to say, and I promise not to babble and carry on like some other people I've heard tonight, basically try to be speak truth to power. The one thing that I think that everybody should pay attention to is the fact that Donald Trump, I was watching Rachel tonight, and Donald Trump is saying the Republicans and Newt Gingrich, we all know what Newt Gingrich stands for. That's probably nothing.
Newt Gingrich, actually, when he talks about disparagingly Robin Hood Democrats, what he's actually saying is he's pro-Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, exactly. But he said he made a statement today that the president has the right to fire Robert Mueller.
He does.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the right to fire. He can order Robert Mueller fired, but he doesn't have the right to fire.
He can go down.
Who has to fire Robert Mueller is the deputy attorney general.
Wait a minute.
But he can tell them. Let me finish, and then y'all let you
okay.
talk.
Okay. All right.
He can tell them that he wants him fired, and the deputy attorney general has to say, okay, you're fired. But here's the thing about that. Now, if Donald Trump goes out and says that he wants the deputy attorney general, the man that's over the special counsel, to be fired, then what does that say about Donald Trump, that he's trying to hide something? Now, here's the problem that the American people have with that. As far as I don't know about all American people, but I have a problem with it. If you want the man that's over the special counsel to be fired when the FBI director just called you a liar, what does that say about the president of the United States?
Can I break in now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you're old enough to remember Watergate. You sound too young for that, but do you know?
No, I'm not. Hold on. I am. I was in the military at the time Watergate went on.
Great. So you remember the Saturday Night Massacre where Trump wanted to fire Archibald Cox.
And not Trump, Nixon.
Nixon. And he went down the line firing people out of the Department of Justice until he found somebody that was willing to fire Archibald Cox.
Yeah.
Trump can do the same thing. So have I just lost something in my sound?
No, you sound good.
Okay, because all of a sudden my headset just kind of went dead. Yeah, that's better. I just had to do something. But so in theory, in practice, Trump cannot directly fire Mueller. But
right.
he can go all the way down firing people like knocking over dominoes until he finds somebody as the acting attorney general who will say, sure, rather than lose my job, I'll fire Mueller.
That would be the cowardly way out, right?
And shortly after Nixon did that, he had to resign because he was hiding something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm – that's the point that I'm raising.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. Revote2017.net. Believe in them or not, support them or not, what they are trying to accomplish with their petition to the Supreme Court, which is now filed and which you can go to my website and find a link to. And one of the things that they want to do is have the Supreme Court appoint a special master who would essentially serve the same function as a special counsel or special prosecutor under the DOJ, but the president would have no authority to fire that person. That's a reasonable petition ask. As Bob just pointed out, I've got two more people and I've got about 7 minutes. Do you want to wrap up what you're saying? I'll let you do that and then we'll go.
Yeah, so we need to stay at this here. But here's the other thing, and like I said, I'm not going to babble on and carry on like some people and take up all your time.
Like me.
I appreciate the time that you give me. The other thing is... Rachel was talking about, you know what? Go ahead and go to your next caller tonight because I've waited here so long tonight, I done forgot my theories.
I'm sorry.
So that's okay, but go ahead on and do your thing tonight.
I appreciate it. And thanks for calling, and I'm going to watch Rachel when I get home. Okay, listening to thinkwingradio.com. I'm sorry, listening to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. ThinkWingRadio.com is my site. You can go there and learn stuff. KPFT.org is where you can go to support the station. And ThinkWing at ThinkWing Radio, follow me on Twitter. And Tim, you're on the air. Thanks so much for waiting.
I am here. I added one to my little two quick items. And number one is something I wasn't going to say, but as far as Trump goes, I think he's going to take himself out. Ultimately, I try not to be concerned about him because I really do believe that that will happen at some point in time, hopefully sooner than later. Second issue is, which was actually my first issue this morning, I listened to Voices, and there was a discussion about belief in God. I called the program, and actually after about half of the program, it finally became clear that the discussion regarding the belief in God, according to them, it took them half a program to get there, was based on the parameters of the Christian point of view, which I did a minor argument with them. That's neither here nor there. The third issue is that you said something a few moments ago that hit home with me because for a number of years I've been calling different talk programs, especially Cliff and some other people, that the only way that real change is ever going to be affected in this grand place that we live in is with a violent, bloody revolution.
Well, let's hope
and
it doesn't
that's
come
really
to that.
What I have to say.
Yeah, and I don't dismiss that possibility the way many people do. I think it's highly preventable, but I think it's also remotely possible. You know,
okay.
Darwinian...
And that's really all I'm saying.
Okay.
That I don't think that it has to go there, but I, based on everything that I see, everything that I perceive is coming my way from the information that is given to me, and that I am available to and that I search out.
Well, the key to social Darwinism is people have to be willing to lay down and die, and they're not going to do that. Tim, I'm going to let you go if that's okay and get on to my next caller.
No sweat at all, Mike.
Thank you so much, Tim. Okay, let's get Jesse on, and I know someone else is calling in. I don't know if we'll get to them. But, Jesse, you are almost on the air. You're on the air, Jesse.
All right. Thank you very much. Just quickly... Nobody has really said anything about the climate control, climate change mm-hmm. thing that he pulled out. But my thing was, why did he go to China and all these deals are going on, and then he pulls out of the climate change thing, but now China is going to be in control of that. It just seems like nobody's really talking about that. And the other thing is when Nixon was impeached, Barbara Jordan from Houston, Texas, did this incredible speech of why he can be impeached.
Never technically impeached. Resigned first. It was in the cards.
Well, yeah. Get off that sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate your callers and everybody. That's pretty much what I have. And the other thing is checks and balances. United States is a great nation, and we will get through this.
We have a great system if it's used.
And people are stirring up, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and we got to get together.
There's going to be some change. This was a wake-up call. There's going to be some change. Thank you so much for calling, Jess. Call in earlier, and maybe we'll have more time. Thank you so much. I think we've had a really, really interesting show. I am very, very pleased. So you've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner has been on controls. You can help keep this show and this station on the air by going to kpft.org and donating. And thinkwingradio.com is my website. Lots of stuff there that you can see that I never get to talk about. And at Thinkwing Radio on Twitter. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Bob. Bob is always on my case to get off on time. Now he's trying to get me off a minute early, figuring if he tries to get me off a minute early, he'll get me off on time. Is that the plan, Bob? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm very pleased with the show. I think we really had a deep, important, interesting discussion. You know, I spent so much time putting the show together, I didn't come up with a specific quote that I want to use. So I will go ahead and use last week's quote, that there is a, and this is from Isaac Asimov from 1980. There is a cult of ignorance in the United States, and there always has been. The strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that, quote, my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge, unquote. Remember, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. I think that leaves me 20 seconds, right, Bob? 20 seconds. Okay, what can I say in 20 seconds? Let's see. Delta Airlines, Jim DeMint, civics lesson. 10 now. We talked about the First Amendment. NATO, Collective Defense, Article 5. I got that confused with a guest the other day. Oh, don't drown me out, Bob.
Have you noticed a face rash? Have you been feeling tired, experiencing joint pain, or other symptoms? If you've been feeling sick but still look healthy, then you may have lupus. Lupus is an autoimmune disease that can affect many parts of the body. If untreated, it can be deadly. If you think you have lupus, contact your doctor right away or call us at 1-866-SU-FAMILIA. That's 1-866-783-2645. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT has a fun drive coming up, and we need your help to make it a success. Our phone volunteer trainings are coming up, and we could really use your help. You'll meet KPFT listeners just like you and help this community radio station. Your efforts make a difference and can make this a fun, fast, and successful drive. We hold phone volunteer training regularly to accommodate all kinds of schedules. Visit kpft.org for a complete list of training dates. If you are a seasoned phone volunteer, call 713-526-4000 to sign up for a volunteer shift. You're tuned into Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/KPFT Houston.